In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church celebrates the great feast of Pentecost, on which the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pentecost occurred on the 50th day, that's what the word in Greek means, literally, after the resurrection of Christ. This also took place on the day on which the Jews celebrated the great feast commemorating the giving of the tablets of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. By some accounts, approximately 120 disciples had gathered with the apostles and the Virgin Mary to await the Comforter whom Jesus had promised. To more fully understand the scope of the Holy Spirit on mankind that day, we must understand the fractured and chaotic condition of the world. Genesis 11 provides us with a profound precursor to the miracle of Pentecost. This passage tells us that the whole world at one time had one language with a simple vocabulary. Wouldn't it be nice to return to that? The people of that day settled in Mesopotamia, which is present-day Iraq, the homeland of our own Imad, because of its abundant natural resources, which seemed to assure a very comfortable place in which to live. So out of the abundance of the natural resources, they built a magnificent city, Babylon. At the end of the third millennium BC, it was one of the major centers of civilization. It was very advanced in a technological sense. For example, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the world. The Babylonians became so full of themselves, so full of pride of their accomplishments, that they actually thought that they could reach heaven through their own efforts by building a tower that would reach to the heavens. They replaced their need for God with their own ingenuity. So God, in his effort to lead them to repentance, demonstrates his sovereignty over their ingenuity. In Genesis 11, verses 6 through 7, we read, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." This is God speaking. "Come, let us go down." You get the plural there? "Let us go down." The Holy Trinity, that is. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. "And there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." And so, we see in verse 9 of Genesis 11, "Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth." Now, why would he do that? Such a cruel thing to mess up such a good thing, seemingly. They had left the one true God. They had left their very life source. And this brought about alienation from God. And this division and separation and this alienation characterized then and now our fallen world. Even though we have rebelled against God, though, the God who made us, ex nihilo, out of nothing, the God who made us out of nothing, who breathed life into us, this God has never given up on us because he loves us, because he made us in his image. He gave us that potential to be like him, to change, to become what he intended for us to be from the very beginning. And so our Lord Jesus Christ God incarnate took on human nature. He suffered. He died in the flesh. And he rose again on the third day and ascended into heaven 40 days later. And he sends the Holy Spirit, whom he had promised, the Comforter, this third person of the Holy Trinity. We resume the prayer to the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, having ceased to pray this prayer after Pascha, after the resurrection of Christ. O Heavenly King, Comforter, the Spirit of truth, who art in all places and fillest all things, the treasury of good things and giver of life, come and abide in us. The Holy Spirit is God just as much as the Father is and just as much as the Son is. And he is that great agent of deliverance, of change, of healing, of empowerment. That agent of intimacy with God. And the Son sends him. He does not proceed out of the Son. He proceeds out of the Father. But in cooperation, the Son sends him to come to help us, to comfort us, to empower us, to forgive us, to make up everything that is lacking within us. The presence of the Holy Spirit and his power was manifested in these disciples in many miraculous ways, not the least of which was the speaking and understanding of languages which were not their own. Something changed in the lives of his disciples on this day. The fragmentation and the division and the lack of faith gave way to the work of the Holy Spirit. How many times did we see before Pentecost the disciples who would become apostles, most of them, many of them, falling flat on their face? St. Peter, our own patron, denied the Lord three times. St. Paul actually participated in the murder of Christians before he repented. St. Mary of Egypt was a prostitute for 40 years. We see in the lives of so many of the saints this marvelous before and after. Before repentance, before the acquisition of the Holy Spirit, a life that is characterized by fruits of darkness. But after the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a life that reflects the glory of God. So this chaos and confusion is replaced by unity. A unity that can only be brought to us by God. A unity that is in the very shadow of the unity enjoyed by the three persons of the Holy Trinity. And the apostles and other disciples of the Lord accomplished many miracles because they had a fervent love for God and were empowered by this Holy Spirit. Their lives evidenced his presence in their life and blessing and through the virtues of love and joy and patience and kindness. All of these things that the scriptures tell us are fruits of the Holy Spirit in us. Saint Seraphim of Sarov, the famous Russian saint, wrote that the goal of this life is the acquisition of the Holy Spirit. That's the goal of this life. And what does that mean? It means that we can't save ourselves. Our good deeds will not save us. Our good deeds are important, whether you're talking about prayer or feeding the hungry or sheltering the homeless, whatever it might be. Are those things not important? No, they're very important. But unless they are directed toward the Holy Spirit, toward the Holy Trinity, unless they are empowered by the Holy Spirit, they are of no avail. All of these things are a means to an end, and that is to be united to God, to be reconciled to God, to come to a relationship with Him that is full of love. And this is what our Lord is referring to in today's gospel when He says, "Those who hunger and thirst, come to me and you'll get living water." The living water is the Holy Spirit, the life of God poured out within us. Do we know God, or is He a stranger? It's one thing to know about Him, it's another, quite another, to know Him. You will recall the passage where I believe it was a couple of Pharisees that gave Him a laundry list of all the good deeds that they had done. And the Lord said, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I do not know you." Judgment Day will be about that. Have we become friends of God? Do we know Him? Have we opened the door of our heart to Him? Have we allowed the Spirit of God to lead us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to deliver us, to make us into the person that God intended for us to be? All of these good works are important, but they are a means to the end of being united and reconciled with God. The first step of the spiritual life in Orthodox spirituality is purification. These things of darkness, these deeds of darkness, rather, in our lives must be extricated. They must be removed. We must make room for the Holy Spirit. And when we do, He comes to us like a lightning bolt. So great is His love for each and every one of us. The agent of change, this Holy Spirit. Power. Genuine power, genuine love, genuine deliverance, all of which amount to a genuine relationship with the God who made us. We should rejoice today. We should rejoice because the Holy Spirit has been made available to us. Like the apostles, like the disciples, our lives are intended to be evidence of His indwelling in us. We are intended by God to become the temple of the living God. Whatever is in the temple that stands in the way of His presence with us, we must remove, my friends, through repentance. We must remove whatever stands in between us and God. Whatever it might be, this is why self-examination is so important. This is why the sacrament of penance and confession in the church is so essential. It's not a nice extra for those who are just zealous and, energetic about their spiritual life. It's for every single person. It's a vehicle of God's grace that has been given to us that enables us to be washed by this Spirit, for our sins and our darkness to be put out into the light so that it can become light. That's how powerful the Spirit of God is. He is able to change you, but He will not do it unless you say it's okay. He will not force himself on you. It is up to us to open the door of our heart to the Comforter. And when we do, and the degree to which we do, change will take place. Marvelous, beautiful change. And these vices will begin to be replaced by the virtues of God. Love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they turned the world upside down. Those who had failed miserably so many times before Pentecost became agents of change themselves. So, dearly beloved, as we celebrate this great feast, let us not take the Holy Spirit for granted. Let us call on Him to come into our hearts and into our minds, to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to lead us, guide us, empower us, heal us, forgive us, to make up everything that is lacking in us. This is God's provision for your sins and mine. This feast sort of brings this whole package of salvation and deliverance to a close, this feast of Pentecost. Mission accomplished. He came and He accomplished exactly what He intended to accomplish. He made it possible for you and I to be reconciled to God, to know Him, to love Him, and to spend eternity with Him. By the grace of the All-Holy Spirit, may that be our lot in life, each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.